I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 YAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinkers out there. Beholden to no party, no politician, and no political theater. It is Friday. Next hour, we're going to take a look at some foreign policy stuff. Things are still really going on. Mike Pompeo, he's like the evil Energizer Bunny. You just cannot stop this guy. I found something from him that was fairly interesting, but we're going to talk a little bit about that stuff, and then we'll take my segment of a look back at the week of the lunatic left has taken a little bit of a turn lately, and just a look back at the last week of lunacy, with the insanity that's going on in this country right now. I saw that yesterday Michigan actually had armed protesters out. And there was no violence. These were peaceful protesters, but they were angry. from what I saw, they were not happy people. And Michigan, the governor there, seems very intent on keeping everything locked down for an extended period of time. I just feel like, I don't think these protests work. I think we have to start to realize we've got a political class that really doesn't care what we think. They probably think it's cute. Maybe they think it's annoying that we actually exercise our First Amendment rights and get out and march and protest and make up all our signs and all that stuff. They might find it annoying, or maybe they just kind of laugh at it. But as I said the other day, I just couldn't think of, when I was trying to think of what protest has ever worked. I think of all the big protest movements, the Tea Party, the Occupy Wall Street, pro-life rallies, climate change rallies. Nothing changes. So I guess they just, the political class tolerates it. For me, it seems to me, Michigans and Mississippi, or anybody that is really hell-bent on reopening their city or their state at this point, you just do it. I don't know what would happen. It would be kind of interesting. And the thing is we don't have a... There's no rallying cry for business owners, for average individuals, really. I mean, you would need a politician. You would need Donald Trump to come out and say, okay, everybody just open up. He'll never do that, and it probably would be fairly irresponsible for him to do it. But if people wanted to really restart their businesses and restart their society because they believe the caution is actually killing us more than the disease would, to me, it seems like what you do is you just start opening. We talked about Mike Land at Family Barbershop in Madison. He just opened. Police gave him a visit, gave him a citation. It's like $500 per time they come out there and give him a citation. I don't know if that's per day or if they could come out there 10 times during a day. I don't know what it is. But I don't know if they could do that if 150 businesses in Madison opened up. And it seems like that would be a much more effective way and actually accomplish what you're already protesting for, which is reopening. Again, we have to decide what kind of country we live in, I guess. Quote of the day today, I saw this. Jonathan Sumption, a former UK Supreme Court justice, recently warned, quote, "When human societies lose their freedom, it's not usually because tyrants have taken it away. It's usually because people willingly surrender their freedom in return for protection against some external threat." And boy, the truer words never been spoken. We saw this with 9/11, we saw it with the financial crises, which kicked off the bailouts and gave them the cover to do bailouts on steroids. Do you know that there have been days during these bailouts that they have put out as much money? You remember Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street, speaking of protest movements, which I support, but it just didn't affect any change. Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street took to the streets on the $700 billion or $800 billion TARP program. That's really what it was. It was the bailouts, right, that put these people in the streets, Wall Street bailouts of 2008. There have been days during this crisis where the Federal Reserve has pumped out the equivalent of a TARP within a few hours, in just one day of this thing. That's how big what they're doing right now is. I got to tell you, it's pretty convenient. Pretty convenient that Wall Street is getting bailed out again at a time where American citizens are told to stay in their houses. You can't get out on the streets. You can't do protests, can you? No. That's pretty convenient, I got to say. That's where my suspicion lies on this thing. Speaking of the bailouts and stuff, this just kind of shows you. And I promise I'm not going to talk about the Federal Reserve today. But according to the latest Fed balance sheet, as of April 29th, the Fed's balance sheet increased by $82.8 billion over the past week, rising to a record. Are you ready for this, anyone? $6.66 trillion. That says it all. This is the Fed balance sheet has reached 6.66. If you remember after the financial crisis of 2008, do you know where the S&P found its bottom, where it bottomed out after the bailout of Wall Street? It bailed out Wall Street and the S&P bottomed out at 666. And then it started back up for the longest bull run in American history, which we just got done with. And I do have a little bit of breaking news. If you're not sitting down, please take a seat, because what I'm about to report to you is going to shock a whole lot of people. I don't want to catch you. If you're driving, you may need to pull over, because you're not going to believe the story I'm about to report to you. I actually do have a story that I think is pretty fascinating, but with this one, a preliminary inquiry into the loans granted under the Paycheck Protection Program has revealed early signs of fraud among businesses seeking coronavirus relief funds, according to Bloomberg. Can you believe it? A package put together of trillions of dollars, put together in a couple of weeks, shoved out into a system that was not prepared and even conscious of what the rules should be on this, has experienced some fraud. The review has already turned up several red flags in the data prosecutors have examined over the past week. Quote, whenever there's $1 trillion out there on the street that quickly, the fraudsters are going to come out of the woodwork and attempt to get access to that money. You think? This is Ben Kowski. He said, there are unfortunately businesses that are sending in loan applications for large amounts of money that are overstating their payroll cost, overstating the number of employees they've had, overstating the nature of their business. Come on, say it's not so. I can't believe that. The Department of Justice inquiries have asked for borrower information and whether banks observed anything suspicious with loan applications or the loan process, according to the report. Clients, not banks, have been the focus of the probe. Now, I got to tell you, banks that are processing these loans, particularly the local banks for the small business owners, you really can't hold them accountable. The guidance on this thing was done so quickly. And they had to do such high volume, and they weren't required to do a whole lot of underwriting. So you really can't blame some local or even regional bank. But boy, I can't imagine the fraud going on in the big money center banks in New York City. I have also heard, beware the bailout bait and switch. I've talked to several people over the past week, small business owners, some people that deal with employee and HR matters, to find out that, and even some bankers, find out that they are constantly kind of changing. They're tweaking the rules of this Paycheck Protection Program. Some companies that got the money and might think that they're free and clear, you may have a rectal exam at the end of this thing. Now, I'm not saying that's the case, but I did tell you the story a few weeks ago of the time when I took the mortgage credit after the 2008 housing crisis. I just happened to purchase a house in 2009, so I took the credit. And many people who took that credit were audited for about 7 years of past tax returns as the IRS kind of got a claw into you. They said, well, if we're going to give you back a little bit of your money, we're going to make sure everything's on the up and up. And then they go peeling through everybody's tax records. They are changing with these paycheck protection programs. They're kind of tweaking the rules a little bit and putting out some guidance as they realize, you know, they put out a flawed plan. And then as they realize all the mistakes they've made in the different mechanics of this thing, they're going to start, instead of admitting that they made a huge mistake, they're going to start fixing it by nitpicking clients and trying to recoup some of this money at some point, or accusing people of doing something wrong. They shut down the entire country, put out a flawed plan, and instead of accepting responsibility for any of the problems from it, they're going to actually try to take it out of the people. I'm going to talk in just a second about Joe Biden's come out. He's been forced, I got to tell you, he's been forced to come out and address the sexual assault claims. Oh, Republicans, you are blowing this big time. I am stunned to sit back and watch what an absolute strategic blunder we are seeing right now with the Joe Biden sexual assault. I'll get to that when I come back. Stay with me. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
I came on air the other day and explained to people that I've followed politics and current events and stuff. I'm pretty fascinated by it. I do a lot of research. If I wasn't doing a radio show, I'd spend hours a day looking at current events and foreign policy stuff and economic news. That's just that's where my interest lies. Some people fish. This is what I do. Certainly not for everybody, and I understand if you're not like that, but if you're listening to talk radio, you have some level of interest in it. But I said that same day, I've gotten to where I'm just completely sick of politics. Can't even remember what story it was that spurred me to my just abject disgust of what politicians do. And I talk about these protests. Look, there just are no political solutions to the problems we face. You're not going to elect enough of one party or the other to fix anything. It's going to just, we're constantly going downhill. American people have got to take control, take the reins themselves, get the government out of our lives, and we'll figure it out. Some communities may flourish, some may fail. That's life. But there's no political solution for what this country is facing. We're seeing it with unanimous support for $10 trillion in bailouts and counting. Anyway, even though I hate politics, I can't sit by and watch what is stunning in the blunder about the Joe Biden sexual assault claims. The mistakes the Republicans are making on this and the Trump supporters are staggering to me. Now, Joe Biden is obviously a pervert. Allegedly, do I need to throw that on there? He's a public figure. Can I say what I want to? I mean, Joe Biden is just as creepy as they come. We know his stuff with his inappropriate touching of little children, and I mean, and everybody he comes in contact with. He's a creepy, weird dude. We know he's got serious cognitive decline. So, something is going on, obviously. And it is interesting to me to see what I point out on the show a lot, which is as an outsider. See, I don't have to carry water for any party or any politician. I'm so free. I don't have to twist my mind and pretzels to try to justify my side or the other side. You know, Mika Brzezinski, I may play the clip later. Mika Brzezinski, who did the interview this morning with Joe Biden about his sexual assault, you know, she essentially has to straddle this line of believe all women, Me Too, women's empowerment, and at the same time say, but I know Joe and Joe didn't do this. I think that messes with your head when you have to be such an incredible hypocrite. And it's funny to me that Republicans obviously, and I'm with you. Let me make this perfectly clear. We assume that this is true about Joe Biden and the Tara Reid accusation, right? Seems pretty credible. She told other people at the time. And it is very different than the Kavanaugh thing. She didn't know where she was and when it was and who was around, and she didn't tell anybody. It's a very different thing. So it certainly seems that the Tara Reid accusation is very, very accurate, very probably true. It's just funny that, you know, for Republicans, of course that one's true. Anything that's made against Donald Trump, we know that that's a lie. And ditto for the left. If an accusation's made against Donald Trump or a Republican, the Democrats know that that one's true. But if it's made against Joe Biden, they know this is just a lie. It's just so funny to me. Facts just don't matter. I mean, I'm sitting here trying to do a show based on facts and research into a society that really doesn't care about facts. This is some kind of experimental radio at this point. But the strategic blunder of this is staggering to me. Tell me what you were trying to accomplish with bringing out the sexual assault claims against Joe Biden right now, of all times. While the world is consumed with COVID-19, the lockdowns, everybody's distracted, their lives have been turned upside down, and now is the time you want Joe Biden to have to face the music on this sexual assault? Not to mention the fact that if you damage him enough with this claim right now, you will sideline the weakest candidate the Democrats could have put up. Can you even imagine the bloodbath of a debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden at this point? Joe Biden is not up to the task there. The Democrats are giving you a man with corruption, his family dealings with China, with Ukraine. He's a pervert. They are giving you the softest, easiest candidate the Democrats have for Donald Trump to beat. And you're trying to cause him problems? What is that? Is this art of war or something? When the enemy is defeating themselves, don't interfere? And everybody wants to talk about this Tara Reid thing. Now? Are you kidding me? In the middle of COVID-19. When the media is really distracted, where the average American is distracted in the first place. But let's just say you dig deep and you really put Joe in his place. And again, I'm with you. I think he probably did this. The guy's a creepy pervert. What are you going to accomplish? What's your goal here? To get him replaced with an Andrew Cuomo? God forbid. You better hope they don't try to put Gavin Newsom up against Donald Trump. Almost every backbencher to Joe Biden is more of a threat to Donald Trump than Joe Biden himself. Joe Biden is the worst, weakest candidate the Democrats could have chosen, and the Republicans are trying to get rid of him now, where there's still plenty of time for another candidate to come in, campaign, debate, and build up a head of steam going into the election. If you wanted to do the Tara Reid accusations, October was the time to do them. When they had finally decided that they couldn't unseat Joe and Joe was the guy. Make him answer these things fresh on the debate stage right before the election. I mean, I hate politics. And I'm not any Trump campaign manager. I've got news today where I'm displeased with Donald Trump. And I've got a big headline where I'm thrilled to death with Donald Trump. See, I don't love any politician. I approve of some actions and disapprove of most actions, but with all of them. But boy, oh boy, oh boy. I don't think I've ever seen this bad of a strategy. I mean, the Democrats are trying to hand Donald Trump the re-election in 2020 on a silver platter, and the Republicans and Trump supporters are about to screw it up. I don't know I've seen anything quite like this before. I know Joe Biden's a disgusting human being, but patience. Patience, people. Timing. You are going to end up making such a big deal. And listen, the media hypocrisy on this is laughable. Trust me, I'm right there with you. Any Trump supporter or Republican out there, you and I probably would agree on 99% of everything surrounding the Joe Biden sexual assault case. The 1% we'll disagree on is going to end up being the most important one. And the 1% we disagree on is, I would say, shh, shut up about it. Shut up about it. Hell, I would encourage you to help cover it up until October. Call off the dogs. I mean, I'm floored by this strategic blunder by the Republicans and Trump supporters. They're giving you a layup, and you're going to destroy it. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I don't think it's the Republicans. I don't think the Republicans are smart enough to run this scam.
Well,
I don't think they're the ones running it.
I actually do agree with you. It's just that the Republicans are falling into that trap. I totally agree with you that the Democrats have everything to gain from these allegations becoming something big. And that may be why the media is finally covering them. Not because they finally did the right thing, but that the Democratic Party said, hey, it's about time to put old Joe down. It's just I see Trump supporters and Republicans piling on. I'm like, not now.
All they want to all because here's how you can tell that the Republicans really aren't running this game is because they're so hypocritical. Well, of course they're hypocritical. I mean,
yeah,
they're all they want to talk about is the media, the way they bashed Kavanaugh, but they're not saying anything to about. Well, look, you just need to make sure if Mike Madison was running this scam, you would be making sure that the gal got heard, that the story got out. You wouldn't be worried about the media's treatment of Kavanaugh. That's history. Don't worry about that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's, yeah.
This is all about taking out Biden from inside. There's somebody that wants that nomination that didn't want to go through the campaign process, or they figured out, hey, we actually could do this, and we're not going to let this guy be the nominee.
Right. I wonder, is it a coincidence that this story has finally made the mainstream media as Hillary Clinton shows her face? Like, she snuck in there, tried to look magnanimous by doing her endorsement of Joe Biden, and then she I can just imagine her coming off set and going, all right, I've done my thing. It looks like I was playing ball. Sink him.
Mike, you've been watching things long enough to know there are no coincidences.
That's right. That's right. Well,
there are no coincidences. Everything is planned. Everything has an option.
Yeah.
And a reason for happening. There are no coincidences.
Well, people are getting, you know, Republicans and Trump supporters are getting so giddy on this stuff with the Biden these charges against Biden and coming out, and they've been trying to fan the flames, and you're right, the hypocrisy is the big part of it, and they do this Kavanaugh thing. Golly, people just needed to be quiet about this. This was just such a bad timing.
Regardless of whether we got the pandemic going on, if you were also running this game, these allegations wouldn't come out until September.
Right. Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. October.
So we're going to wait until September and October. We ain't coming out because the life cycle of in today's world, man, this even if Biden's not taken out, it'll be forgotten by October.
Yeah, you're right.
Going to want this to come out in September, October, not now.
Yeah, there is not a conservative talk show radio talk show host out there that should have uttered a single word about this. They should have looked around and hoped it went away so they could restart it in October. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, but I think you're right. I think this is an inside job. They're making their move against Joe. Yeah. You almost feel sorry for the guy. I've got his interview he did with Mika Brzezinski. I may play a little bit of it, but I've got so much to get to today. It's almost sad. I can't stand Joe Biden. He's such a corrupt piece of filth that has been feeding off the taxpayer his entire adult life. And then given his whole family's corrupt in political dealings and payoffs and all that stuff. Still, I look at him. He looks so pathetic on these shows. He can't think for himself. He's an old guy. I don't know. I guess I'm just an old softy.
Well, it's sad that his family, they're so corrupt, they'll even throw throw the old man out there in front of God and everybody to act like this.
Yeah.
And to expose him like he is.
Well, I'm sure he is.
It's sad.
He'll be paid handsomely for whatever when he finally steps aside. Like Bernie Sanders, maybe he'll get a beach house or something like that out of it. So,
yeah,
anyway.
Probably so.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Bye. All right. Yeah, I may move on to some other stuff, but I just had to say that. I mean, I am just stunned by the Republican and conservative coverage of this Joe Biden thing when you should have been helping cover it up for a few months. Don't talk about it. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. As I sit back and narrate the biggest blunder I've ever seen from the Republican Party and Trump supporters, trying to take down Joe Biden right when he needs to be taken down to help the Democrats. You're going to help them. Donald Trump went after Joe Biden, which is fine. I think as long as I'm playing armchair quarterback to the Republican Party, not that anybody cares. President Donald Trump criticized his rival for the presidency, former Vice President Joe Biden, on Wednesday, asserting in an interview that the Democratic challenger was, quote, incompetent. Quote, I believe the people of this country are smart, and I don't think that they will put a man in who's incompetent, Trump told Reuters reporter Steve Holland in an exclusive interview. I don't mean incompetent because of a condition he's got now, he said. I mean he's incompetent for 30 years. Everything he ever did was bad. His foreign policy was a disaster. Now, I'm not going to ever disagree with any criticism of Joe Biden and anything he's ever done in his life. Joe Biden is just absolutely abject, horrible. I just think Trump's playing this wrong. Trump should play this, in my opinion, my humble opinion, like he's almost concerned about Joe Biden. Look, you know, I mean, he should say he's not call him incompetent, just say, God, I got to tell you, it just seems to me like he's struggling. I don't know he's up for this. You know, he's an older guy, and I kind of hate to see him have to go through, you know, a tough president. I think he could kind of take the high road and at the same time really point out without having to say anything aggressive. He could almost be seen as being concerned for Joe Biden. I think that would score Trump a bunch of points and still make the point that what is so patently obvious. No one has to even say anything about Joe Biden's mental decline right now. I think I've got Jimmy Dore for the end of the show. I got to get to that clip where you listen to some progressives talk about Joe Biden. I mean, and this is the other thing, too, you have to understand. Joe Biden is not only do all Trump supporters and Republicans can't stand him for very legitimate reasons. The progressive wing of the Democratic Party can't stand Joe Biden. So not only, I mean, he's facing every headwind you could as a challenger to an incumbent. He's unpopular within his own party. He's got massive corruption problems. He's got sexual harassment problems. He's got corruption problems. And he's in mental decline. Trump supporters, you should be somehow out there taking positive polls for Biden. You should be propping him up for the next 3 or 4 months rather than taking to any threads and participating in any bad talk about him. You know what I mean? I mean, they have given you a gift. This is the weakest candidate I think I've ever seen, and even the progressive wing of the party can't stand Joe Biden. I was thinking on this, you know, on the sexual harassment stuff, I think the one thing that gets kind of lost, something that is just always kind of in the back of my mind when I see these sexual assault allegations. What happened to the $17 million slush fund Congress had to pay off a bunch of victims of sexual misconduct? We don't know if it was sexual assault. We don't know if it was rape. We don't know if it was inappropriate comments. We don't know if it was microaggressions. Because our own Congress, and I got to tell you, it must have been bipartisan, because neither party has ratted the other party out. This is where I tell you political theater comes in. Everybody thinks it's this existential battle between the Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill because they come to the microphones like professional wrestlers and trash talk each other, and you buy into it. Meanwhile, obviously, this $17 million secret slush fund implicates both parties. So why do you think it is that neither party uses it when they want to win a race? How many opponents are out there? How many Republicans out there know of some Democrat who had to do a secret settlement with a staffer or a congressional page or whatever because they sexually abused them? Why do you think they don't use that in the campaign? Because they're all doing it. There's just a culture of depravity in Washington, D.C. What you see on television, all the yay-yang back and forth, it's professional wrestling. Because they've all got, you know, essentially it's mutually assured destruction up there. They could rat anybody out anytime they wanted to. I talked about the other day about all of the cover-ups for all the various big, big crimes that could be exposed by one party or the other, but they just don't ever seem to get around it. The Republicans, I don't know how long they've been in, we'll see, Hillary Clinton burst onto the scene in 1992, essentially. And she has remained unindicted for that entire period of time with the laundry list of crimes that she's been involved with, starting out with Whitewater and Travelgate and Filegate, the Clinton Global Initiative. Do you ever stop and think to yourself, huh, I wonder why the Republicans don't get together and actually investigate what she's doing there? Huh. That's interesting, isn't it? Do you think that Hillary Clinton is just such a criminal genius that she hasn't left any tracks anywhere? I mean, if you truly believe that this is always this battle between these two opposing forces, do you ever wonder why neither one of them ever really rat the other side out for major crimes? And I've had this conversation with friends, and they'll say, well, I don't know. I mean, I said, well, do you believe that nothing corrupt is going on in Washington, D.C.? And to a person, they all laugh. Well, of course it is. I say, well, why is it never exposed then? If you've got an entire opposition party that wants to win at all costs, and they're so ideologically different, why don't they bust some of the corruption in Washington, D.C.? They never do. Have you noticed that? It's because it's just a big club. Oh, they do their little, and there may be some, you know, some races. They'd rather have majorities here or there. The majority positions and the majority who gets to make the committee assignments, they make more money. You know, the lobbyists pay committee members more money than just your rank and file guy. So sure, they want to win some elections, but when it comes to actually defeating the other side, oh, Matt Gaetz can make his speeches and Jim Jordan. And I even like some of the stuff these guys do. I'm not really denigrating them. I'm just pointing to even the most ferocious Republicans, Trey Gowdy. Of course, he's left now, but funny how they never really got around to actually exposing any of the corruption on the left. Are we to suppose that it just doesn't exist? That there's a bunch of smoke there, but the Republicans with decades and decades with the Clintons, they've still never been able to come up with anything more than Monica Lewinsky. Even that impeachment thing, and believe me, I was right where a lot of Republicans and Trump supporters are right now. I was there in the 1990s where I was out giving the talking points from the Sunday shows about how Bill Clinton broke the law and he lied under oath, and it's all true. I mean, it's so cute. I remember I had one friend I debated a lot. He worked for me at a restaurant, at a bar. I was managing a bar at the time, and we would close down, and at the end of every night, we'd sit back and have a couple beers, and we'd talk politics. And he was a conservative guy, but he thought that the Clinton stuff was a little bit too much. The impeachment was just too much for just an affair. He goes, it's just sex. And here's what I said. This is so cute. I was so innocent and naive and dumb. I said, yeah, but what was it at the time, 42? What was Clinton? President 42, wasn't he? Yeah. I said, only 42 men have had the privilege to serve as president of the United States. You would think we could have some of the best there. Isn't that cute? A fresh-faced little 20-something thought that, you know, the previous 41 had all been so honest and men of character that surely we could expect better from Bill Clinton. See, it's freeing to be able to admit when you were completely duped. And in the 1990s, I was completely duped. Now, I don't really care that they impeached Clinton. He lied to under oath and all that good stuff. So do whatever you're going to do. But, you know, we've just seen the opposite of that. All that did was set up what we just saw with Donald Trump, which is just a way for Washington, D.C. to stoke a bunch of anger in the American people so that we fight with each other. During the 1990s, there was a very hostile environment between the Republicans and the Democrats based around the impeachment, which was all based around none of the actual crimes that could have landed Slick Willie in the slammer, but instead just about this Monica Lewinsky stuff. It was like, it was just enough to where Clinton wouldn't actually get into any kind of trouble. It would never screw up anything in his future. He still was going to be able to make, you know, tens or hundreds of millions of dollars at the end of his term. But it was enough to really rally the Republican base that they were holding him accountable. It was a small flesh wound is all it was. When they could have gone for the jugular and actually investigated some of the real crimes of the Clintons, but they decided to just nick him. They knew that that was enough to fire up the Republican base. And Democrats also knew that Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton were involved in crimes that were, they were just a criminal crime family. But they knew defending him during impeachment would rally up their base. I can't imagine. I'll have to go back and look and see what political contributions were to the two parties during that impeachment. We saw what they were during this last impeachment. Both parties scored big. Americans reached into your pockets right before 40 million of you, or it's probably going to end up being 50 million people, end up losing their jobs. People were reaching into their pockets to send money to the DNC and the RNC. You see how this works? I'm so proud of myself that even as young and dumb and naive and doughy-eyed as I was in my 20s, when I expected some level of character from the few men selected to be president of the United States, I'm so glad I grew out of that and became able to accept reality. More people would, we'd have a lot less problems. You'd put a lot less faith into anybody that goes to Washington, D.C. You wouldn't expect much. You wouldn't want much. We would finally tell them to sit down and shut up when we finally give up on it. There is no political solution to the problems we have in the two parties that are running the show right now.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, I've only got a few minutes left in this hour, and then we're going to move on to some other topics. It turns out, I'm in a weird mood today. This stuff is almost funny to me at this point. It turns out there was some election meddling in 2016. Looks like we have evidence of it. Strange the media hasn't covered it. We'll talk about it next hour. Kind of shows, too, how disingenuous the the news is. I mean, can't quite put it into words what I'm trying to say. The entire political system is scripted for you. It's really not true. You're allowed to know at the right time about what you should know about. Now, there were some disruptors to that model. Let me tell you who those disruptors were. Julian Assange, currently awaiting extradition to the United States. They're essentially trying to let him die in prison because he inconveniently put out some things that embarrassed some people at inopportune times. Edward Snowden, exiled in Russia because he put out some inconvenient information about the fact that our own government spies on us. Even Bradley Manning, when he released the stuff on Iraq that showed just absolutely horrible things going on over there, being hidden from the American people. Chelsea Manning now, has been in and out of prison, has been essentially tortured for this. You may disapprove of Bradley Manning's transition. The guy obviously has some issues. But whistleblowers kind of are the ones, they're the turds in the punch bowl for driving narratives around, and you'll notice that they get shut down really, really quickly. Whistleblowers in the CDC, they get shut down. So the CDC can keep running their little game. I played the clip the other day from Kennedy Jr., Robert Kennedy Jr., who says the CDC, they're just a vaccine company. You know, the CDC's had some pretty famous whistleblowers that were really just almost destroyed. And so one of the story that I talk about election meddling next hour is one of these things where you say, oh, well, you know, this isn't supposed to be making the news. I mean, we spent how long talking about Russia interfering in our elections with not a scintilla of evidence of anything outside of somebody in Russia, either a bot farm or something. They didn't even tie it to the Kremlin, I don't believe, bought $46,000 in Facebook ads. Yet for 3 years, we had to hear about Russians hacking our election, and they're going to do it again. You know, the thing that scares me the most is that I believe this next presidential election is going to unleash a wave of hatred and possibly violence in this country that we have never seen. Nobody is going to accept the results of the 2020 election. What is the left going to do if Trump gets four more years? They are going to lose their ever-loving minds. And what is the right going to do if Trump loses? They're not going to accept the outcome of that election. And there's on both sides, it's being lined up as being fraudulent from outside interference or from mail-in ballots or whatever. I believe the 2020 election is going to be the messiest, most contentious, violence. There's potential for huge violence and separation of this country, akin to some level of a civil war. And unfortunately for me, I don't see change on either side enough that would warrant Americans turning on each other, whether Trump's elected again or defeated. We're still going to be in the same boat, but it's going to be an ugly time. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. This is Friday, so I do my fun little segment every Friday called False Flag Friday. It has typically been used for to historically point out the examples of Americans, and I've even covered some international stories, about people being lied into wars. A false flag being an operation, you know, where you claim to be attacked by somebody, you tell your people to be scared about that, and so we have to instigate a war, or so either something is invented out of whole cloth, something that never happened, or an event is manipulated as a pretext for war. But false flags can be all kinds of things. I mean, we may be living through one right now with this pandemic, as some people call it, the plandemic. Now, I don't know. This is, it's not the flu, okay? I'm not a, it's a flu person. People say, well, look, the statistics are basically like it's a bad flu. Well, that's true, but I mean, we've taken some pretty extraordinary steps. If we had done nothing, I would imagine it would have been some kind of a super flu. So I don't think it's just the flu, but our reaction to it has been nothing short of catastrophic economically. And I know that the economy, GDP was declining. It declined in 2019 from 2018. The credit markets were cracking. The overnight lending markets were broken. There were some real problems out there in the structure of this economy. And this comes as a very convenient time for the banks to get a bunch of bailouts without any protesters in the streets because, well, we're not allowed in the streets right now. They got $700 billion as the first round of bailouts in 2008. Right now, they're getting around $7 trillion, and nobody's really saying anything. We're all just waiting on our $1,200 check. So if anything smells funky about this reaction to the coronavirus, it is the bailouts to me. Not a media-driven, Democrat-driven desire to hurt Donald Trump. And one of the main arguments I have against that is, number one, the whole world shut down, so you can't really account for that from Democrats and the mainstream media in the United States. And number two, a lot of times presidents in crises, their approval ratings go through the roof. Dale Danks here in Jackson. I've talked about it before. The 1979 flood, Dale Danks became the hero of Jackson. He handled the flood so well. George Bush, after 9/11, his approval ratings went stratospheric after the 9/11 attacks and his response to that. So this coronavirus was a setup for Donald Trump to do really well. I think he squandered some of that. I think he talked too much. He did too much. He did too much publicly. He should have just been seen as the manager in the response, because I think the results have been actually good. If you predict 2 million people dead and you end up with 70, 80,000, it sounds to me like that's a huge success. But anyway, when it comes to coronavirus, I saw this, get my notes. I've got so many different things to cover today, but I want to try to put these things together, because I've got a really interesting couple of things to mention. Trump has come out. I started talking about the elections before the break. Trump is coming out now. The decision has been made at the Republican level and the Trump administration level that all attention should be directed towards China. China, definitely a bad player on the world stage, a brutal communist dictatorship that cares nothing about human life, certainly not an honest player in the world. But the decision has been made that this is where they want all of the Republican base to focus all of their attention, which is China. And it's going on not only to they let the virus go, but Trump said this a couple days ago. During an Oval Office interview with Reuters published Wednesday night, saying that he thinks China is determined to see him lose the November election based on Beijing's response to the coronavirus, and that he is considering various ways to punish the Chinese government, which he again blamed for allowing the virus to spread across the world. And this is what Trump said as a quote, "China will do anything they can to have me lose this race." So we've got it's interesting to me, again, as an observer, I don't have to bend my mind. I'm just watching as an observer. We watched for 3 years the Democrats scream breathlessly about the Russians. The Russians hacked our elections. The Russians involved themselves in our elections. The Russians tampered in And now we're going to have a look. And Republicans laughed at that, right? Because there was no evidence of that whatsoever. Now, does China want Trump to lose? Probably so. You know who else does? North Korea and Venezuela and Iran and probably some other, maybe even some allies, just don't get along with them. They'd rather just go back to the status quo. But now, Republicans who laughed at this idea that the Russians somehow overturned the results of the election in 2016 are now going to be all on board with anything that comes out now about Chinese meddling in our elections. It's going to be fascinating to watch. And the Democrats will, again, they will also flip 180 degrees, and they will say, there's no evidence the Chinese are meddling in our elections. It's again, we live in a post-truth, post-fact world. Everything's through a partisan lens. But I bring this China thing up for one reason. I wonder why this story does not seem to be getting a lot of traction in the United States, at least so far, not that I've seen. And again, for 3 years, we had to listen to the Russians hacked our elections. The Russians were meddling in our process. And let me say this, too. I don't doubt the Chinese may try to mess around with us. I don't doubt the Russians would try. I don't doubt the French would try. Every government is constantly picking who they want to lead another nation. And sometimes they take overt acts to try to make that happen. Campaign cash, opposition research. This is the way of the world. Always has been, always will be. So the Chinese may not want him to win, and maybe they'll take some actions to that end. I don't know. I don't trust the Chinese. They're as dishonest a nation as there can be. Of course, we have Mike Pompeo, so it's kind of a sliding scale. But I wonder why this story hadn't gotten much traction. Redacted FBI document hints at Israeli efforts to help Trump in 2016 campaign. Affidavit quotes Trump confidant Roger Stone being told by a Jerusalem contact, quote, he is going to be defeated unless we intervene. We have critical intel. The key is in your hands, unquote. The FBI material, which is heavily redacted, includes one explicit reference to Israel and one to Jerusalem, and a series of references to a minister, a cabinet minister, a, quote, minister without portfolio in the cabinet dealing with issues concerning defense and foreign affairs, the prime minister, the PM, and the prime minister. These are all references made in these emails. In all these references, the names and countries of the ministers and prime ministers are redacted. The explicit reference to Israel appears early in the text of a May 2018 affidavit by an FBI agent in support of an application for a search warrant and related to communications between Stone and Jerome Corsi, an American author, commentator, and conspiracy theorist. Quote, on August 20th, 2016, Corsi told Stone that they needed to meet with, name redacted, to determine, quote, what, if anything, Israel plans to do in October, unquote, the affidavit states. The explicit reference to Jerusalem appears later in the same document in the context of communication between Stone and his unnamed contact in the Israeli capital. Quote, on or about August 12, 2016, name redacted, message Stone. Quote, Roger, hello from Jerusalem. Any progress? He is going to be defeated unless we intervene. We have critical intel. The key is in your hands. Back in the U.S. next week. How is your pneumonia? Thank you, Stone replied. Quote, I am well, matters complicated, pondering, are. So for 3 years, we heard endlessly about Russian interference in our elections without an ounce of evidence. But obviously, Israel was involved in the elections, trying to provide intel in these elections, because this is how things go. I will also just continue to explain to people the very inconvenient truth that the Jeffrey Epstein situation, which was getting very powerful men in a compromising position with underage children, taking pictures and video of them, and then blackmailing with them with those things, was a Mossad, Israel's CIA, it was a Mossad operation. Yeah, we don't want to talk about that. Matter of fact, we don't even want to get to the bottom of it. Where is Ghislaine Maxwell? Oh, well, we don't know. No time to talk to her. Our crack Attorney General William Barr hadn't gotten around to Ghislaine Maxwell. who operated a child sex trafficking ring for 25 years. Israel is knee-deep in our elections. Isn't that interesting that we don't talk about that at all? Very, very strange. Some other comments were made by Mike Pompeo. As I say, he's the Energizer Bunny of warmongering. Mike Pompeo never stops. He just keeps on beating the war drums. I'll be right back with that. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
When it comes to that story on Israel injecting themselves into our elections in 2016, I failed to mention where I got that information. It was, I believe, on the front page of the Times of Israel just a couple of days ago. You got to get out of mainstream media in the United States if you want to find out anything that's actually really happening around the world. And talking about false flags, it is... I had no idea that Michael Flynn was represented by Covington and Burling. Covington and Burlington, or Covington and whatever their name is. It's one of the Tony White scumbag law firms in Washington, D.C. It's one of the revolving door firms. I believe Eric Holder is there right now. This was who Michael Flynn chose to represent him the first time around. Thank goodness he finally, somebody shook him, woke him up, and realized that he was actually had the swamp pretending to protect him. But obviously a lot has come out exonerating Michael Flynn, showing all the dirty workings inside the FBI. That whole thing was a false flag, the Russian interference, all of that stuff. One giant lie. I haven't talked about that much on the show because you're going to have to wake me up when the indictments come and we start seeing some perp walks. Now, I'll be excited if Peter Strzok gets in trouble and actually goes to jail for his role in this stuff, but that's not enough. I'm going to get really interested when I see James Comey in a pair of handcuffs, John Brennan in a pair of handcuffs, James Clapper in a pair of handcuffs. When I see that happen, Hillary Clinton, and I don't think it's going to happen. I'm pretty well on the record saying you hope against hope, but I hope I'm wrong, too. I definitely hope I'm wrong. You will hear a big, giant mea culpa. I'll come on the radio that day and say, oh, my gosh, I have never been so happy to be so dramatically wrong. But I don't see it happening. Anyway, at least Flynn's getting his day in a little bit more of a fair court by changing his defense team. And hopefully he sues the crap out of these FBI agents, both personally and professionally. Mike Pompeo. I'm very different from other conservatives on talk radio. And so if you're interested at all in why I'm different, it's because I've learned a lot about the way the world really works over the years. And if you want to see how I view news, which is so different than most conservative talk show hosts view news, here is a really, really good example of what I hear versus what everybody else hears. Now China's the boogeyman, right? The word has gone out. It's full court press on China now. We've gone from Xi is a great guy, they're handling this, I'm in constant talks with him, he's on it, to they are absolutely the worst. And look, again, I'm no China stooge, I don't like China, I hate communism, ugh. But it's obvious that the political winds have shifted and we've decided to make China the scapegoat for everything. Let me see where... Yeah, here it is. Here is Mike Pompeo, the Energizer Bunny of warmongering. It doesn't matter how many people are in food lines. It doesn't matter how many tens of millions of people are out of work. Mike Pompeo is still out there beating the war drums. I'm going to let you listen to this clip of him. Of course, he's on Fox and Friends in the morning, which is the war propaganda room. has been. It's what has kind of Judas goaded a lot of very decent human beings into being warmongers on the Republican side. Here's Mike Pompeo saying his spiel on China.
Yeah, they know that this happened in their country. This is classic communist disinformation. This is what communists do. The Chinese people were harmed by this too. The Chinese Communist Party, we know there were journalists that were kicked out. We know that there were doctors that tried to tell this story, and instead they were pushed aside, covered up, taken out of the news. Those are the kind of things that communist institutions do. We all know them from the Soviet days. We know the kinds of things the communist parties do to try and manage information inside of their own country and around the world. And so we see these efforts. I saw a foreign ministry official this morning on TV trying to change this narrative. We know that this virus started in Wuhan, China. We now have, the Chinese Communist Party now has a responsibility to tell the world how this pandemic got out of China and all across the world, causing such global economic devastation.
Okay. I think a lot of what he just said is true. So it's not what he said necessarily that I have a whole lot of problems with. It's the part that he leaves out. I'm not really sure. Should I play? I don't know if I should play this and let him say what he's going to say and then let you know what he's leaving out. Maybe that's the most effective. Have I got time to do that? Yeah, I think I'll do it that way. I'll do a kind of a point counterpoint here. Let's let him give you his talking points. And again, I'm not disagreeing. China's horrible and definitely has huge blood on their hands when it comes to coronavirus. That being said, as I said, Mike Pompeo is leaving a few things out.
They know that this happened in their country. This is classic communist disinformation. This is what communists do. The Chinese people were harmed by this too. The Chinese Communist Party, we know there were.
Okay. I got to bring it up. You know, 9/11 was done by the Saudi Arabians. At the very least, now I'm not going to get into all 9/11. Real Americans were hurt. Americans were actually harmed. Has Saudi Arabia been held accountable for that, Mike? No. You're over there glad-handing with the MBS, the Crown King, Crown Prince over there in Saudi Arabia. He talks about disinformation. You are aware that in the United States, the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act 2012, the bill would essentially neutralize, actually the bill did, this was written at the time before it's coming out, it neutralized two previous acts, the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 and the Foreign Relations Authorization Act of 1987, that had been passed to protect U.S. audiences from our own government's misinformation campaign. So yes, the Chinese government does it. That's the brutality and the horribleness of communism. We used to make fun or deride the Soviet Union for doing these kinds of misinformation and propaganda stuff. We do it here now. We do it here. Mike Pompeo lies to you on a daily basis.
Journalists that were kicked out. We know that there were doctors that tried to tell this story, and instead they were pushed aside, covered up, taken out of the news.
We've got the doctors. How many doctors have come out on the coronavirus, have been scrubbed from YouTube, Facebook, Twitter? Got the two ER doctors out in California. They've been completely deplatformed and attacked. As I talked before, you got some whistleblowers at the CDC. You got all kinds of medical professionals out there that go against the mainstream narrative in this country who are silenced. He talks about reporters being silenced and taken out. What about Julian Assange? What about Edward Snowden, who is in exile in Russia from this country?
Those are the kind of things that communist institutions do. We all know them from the Soviet days. We know the kinds of things the communist parties do to try and manage information inside of their own country and around the world. And so we see these efforts. I saw a foreign ministry official this morning on TV.
Again, I'm not really having a problem with anything he's saying, pointing out any of the problems of the brutal communist regime in China. The problem is he participates on a daily basis in all of those activities. Mike Pompeo has said that he believes Julian Assange should be executed. Now, is that somebody? Julian Assange didn't make anything up, didn't lie. He just released information that was inconvenient to the establishment on both the Democrat and the Republican side. Mike Pompeo wants him killed. Calls WikiLeaks a foreign, foreign intelligence service or something like that. So basically, Mike Pompeo is just he's just like the communist Chinese.
When I was a cadet, what's the cadet motto at West Point? You will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. I was the CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we stole. Like, we had entire training courses. It reminds you of the glory of the American experiment.
We lie, we cheat, we steal. We've got entire courses on that. It reminds you of the glory of the American experiment. That's Mike Pompeo's United States. That bloated piece of warmongering human filth. He also came out. Let's see if I've got the clip here. He came out yesterday. Didn't clip the story. He came out yesterday and wants the rest of the world to stop Iranian flights from Iran to Venezuela. Iran is running some of their commercial airlines to Venezuela. I don't know what they're running. Maybe it's something bad, but the news coverage of it was that they were running parts to Venezuela, critical parts that they needed to restart some of their failing and dilapidated oil infrastructure there. Mike Pompeo wants all countries of the world to deny them airspace for taking parts to fix oil operations in Venezuela. Because starving and strangling and destroying the people of Venezuela, as much as we have so far, it's just not enough. You need to make sure that they don't have any chance of bringing their main natural resource back online. Chevron has been ordered by the Trump administration also to end all oil operations in Venezuela by December 1st. I don't know exactly what this means, but it's not good. Trump either wants to, number one, further strangle Venezuela by removing one productive part of their country, which is oil, gasoline, or he wants to start a war right after the election with Venezuela to operation. I think there have been 200 new reservists that have been ordered up, some special reserve status, something like that, have been ordered to go down for the narco-terror operation in the Caribbean. Around Venezuela, they have unsealed indictments. The only unsealed indictments in Washington, D.C. have not addressed any of the corruption in our government, but instead have laid charges at Nicolas Maduro and some of his insiders for narco-terrorism. So they're trying to do that. Now, I'll end this on a high note, a giant heaping dose of praise for Donald Trump. Donald Trump is lobbying and trying to get our troops out of Afghanistan using the COVID situation there. He wants to get our troops out of there if there's an outbreak in Afghanistan. And I don't know, maybe he will extrapolate this and get us out of Iraq, too. This is perfect cover for Donald Trump to say our people are just sitting over there in the middle of this worldwide pandemic. We don't want them getting sick and becoming weakened in hostile territory. But Trump is asking to get all of our troops out of Afghanistan based on COVID. Go, Trump. This is what I voted for. So I ended on a high note. Now, if he could just find his way to firing Mike Pompeo today.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We try to end every show with kind of a look back. I've been doing this look back at the week on the lunatic left. During the campaign, there were so many good sound bites out there of just some of these nut jobs on the Democratic stage. Just talking their nonsense. I was looking through my notes today. I do these things over a period of time. Like, I start a list each week, and I just keep adding to it. And then come Friday, I just kind of copy and paste the whole thing into my notes. I was looking at it. I actually have, they're starting to talk now, you know, particularly surrounding Joe Biden. So we've got some of those, and then just some pure obscene, absurd things. I thought it was kind of funny that Gavin Newsom, I don't know if you saw out in California, the Democratic governor out there, last week, I guess they did a little bit of a kind of a lighten up the lockdown situation, and people took to the beaches. And so a bunch of people were spotted having fun and not cowering in fear. So they had to step in and stop that immediately. So they're now attempting to close down the beaches again in California. Be very interesting to see how people respond to that. This was so Joe Biden. I don't guess I'm going to play a lot. The Joe Biden interview on Morning Joe, so funny. I'm going to show you the environment that Joe Biden went into. Now, Donald Trump, to his great credit, he'll face off with darn near anybody. He's been on CNN. He's been on Fox. He does a ton of face-to-face. He's probably the most accessible president. I think he shouldn't be. I think he's making a huge mistake. But he loves to interact with the media, so he talks a lot. I think it gets him in trouble. But Joe Biden's finally, they're forcing him out of this Batesman on these sexual harassment charges. Here is the environment that he's going into. This is Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. And this is before he even comes on. You really get a sense for what kind of a hard-hitting, in-depth, tough round of scrutiny Joe Biden's in for when you listen to how they even, this is before the interview, they start talking about Joe Biden.
There's a lot of things I know about Joe Biden. I've known him for a long time. He is extremely affectionate, extremely flirtatious in a completely safe way.
We all, I just tell you personally, we love Joe.
Love him. I think the next time I see Joe Biden, if he doesn't hug me and give me a kiss and hold my hand while we're talking to you, that's a new Joe Biden. And that's...
If he didn't put his hand up my shirt, I mean, that's just not going to be the guy that I know.
Not the Joe Biden I knew. He's a nice guy. He's not a predator. Again, about changing behavior, I'm not sure Joe Biden...
I think we have a new campaign slogan for Joe Biden for 2020. Joe Biden, he's not a predator.
I would be sad if he changed his behavior. You and I both know him. He's a really wonderful person. He's affectionate, and I'm just going to push back, and I know I put myself at great peril here. There could be more, whatever. More of what? I want to ask. Because so far, these two
charges?
Women have gotten national coverage for something they say was not sexual. So what was it? Affectionate, and they didn't like the affection? And I don't think Me Too wants to take down viable candidates for being affectionate. And five women are uncomfortable with the way he hugged them, and say one of them says she smelled his hair. I can promise you, I know Joe Biden. He went up behind her and he took a deep breath because he was about to go on stage. I want to explain that.
It's funny
because there's a woman who accuses him of smelling.
I guess that's kind of like the Apollo Theater. Don't they have like some kind of a little gold stump or something like that when somebody goes out on the Apollo, they rub the stump. I guess Joe Biden's kind of like that when he gives a speech. He likes to find a woman or a small child somewhere and smell their hair real quick before he hits the stage.
Smelling her hair, he's not interested in your hair, okay? He was going on stage and he took a deep breath before he went on stage and you took it deeply personally and now you're writing a New York Times op-ed about it demanding an apology. This, once again, is completely ridiculous. I'm done. You guys can continue to talk about this. I won't. I refuse to give it any more time. So take it away.
And by the way, you know, I was looking through some old pictures.
What a great journalist Mika Brzezinski is. So I really am stunned that Joe Biden decided to do his first interview on the sexual assault charges with Mika Brzezinski, who this is a hodgepodge, obviously, of clips from a long period of time on Morning Joe during this campaign, where she has basically carried water for him each and every day. That's the hard-hitting journalist that Joe Biden was willing to sit down with. This was Stacey Abrams. Again, look, I'm with you about the hypocrisy on the left. You know, anybody who dares to charge Donald Trump or Brett Kavanaugh with any of these sexual, of course, they are to be believed. And if you attack them at all, you're just a misogynist piece of garbage. But when it comes to Joe Biden, we need to give him the benefit of the doubt in this. I'm with you on that. All I'm saying is it's a strategic blunder to try to participate in the smearing of Joe Biden now. You need to keep this for later on. They're going to replace him with somebody else, and Republicans and Donald Trump are going to be very, very sorry that Joe Biden is not in competition with him come November. This was Stacey Abrams. She is still trying to lobby. She so badly wants to be Joe Biden's vice president. She is the failed gubernatorial candidate for the state of Georgia.
Okay, as someone who wants to be his vice president, I think it's important that we speak about something that's in the news now. As you know, there is a sexual assault allegation against Joe Biden. The accuser, her name is Tara Reid, tells CNN that the alleged incident happened in 1993 while she was working as an aide in Biden's Senate office. She is claiming that she was delivering Biden a duffel bag and says that Biden had her up against the wall in a corridor on the Hill and violated her with his fingers. Now, CNN has now spoken on the record with her former neighbor, who says Reid told her about the allegation within a few years of the alleged incident. Biden's campaign says untrue, never happened. Is this a credible allegation?
I believe that women deserve to be heard, and I believe that they need to be listened to. But I also believe that those...
That being said, I completely disregard her.
Allegations have to be investigated by credible sources. The New York Times did a deep investigation, and they found that the accusation was not credible. I believe Joe Biden. I believe that he is a person who has demonstrated that his love of family, his love of our community.
She started to say women. His love of, she pauses. She almost blew her chances.
He is a person who has demonstrated that his love of women, family, his love of our community has been made perfectly clear through his work as a congressional leader and as an American leader. I know Joe Biden, and I think that he is telling the truth and that this did not happen.
Of course. There you go. You can hear, I was not starting and stopping that clip. You can hear her have to hesitate and parse every word. It is very, very difficult to fluently lie like that right in front of during a news interview. Let's see what I have here. I've got a couple of Biden clips. Again, it's almost sad, but the guy is so corrupt and he's trying to become our president and deny that he actually sexually attacked a woman. So I think that we're within our rights to play him. Let's see what this one was.
Becomes really essential, where the farmer putting the getting food to market is really essential. And I think there's a greater appreciation for who really makes this country function. I talked early when I announced about a year ago that we're going to restore the soul of America. We're seeing the soul of America now. These folks are the soul of America. A lot of them are scared to death, but they're still showing up for work and the essential jobs.
Well, does this tend to make the case for a $15 hour minimum wage?
Oh, I think it makes the case for that. And quite frankly, Jim, I think it makes the case for more.
More.
It makes the case, you know, the president talked about, he's a commander in chief. Well, look at all his generals, lieutenants, and non-coms. They're all people. They're doctors, they're nurses, they're police officers, firefighters, they're store clerks. They're people who, in fact, are driving buses and transportation facilities. And I think it's about time they start to get recognized for what they do and compensated appropriately.
There you go. Joe Biden, he's going to $15 an hour? More. Got to get more. Let's see. I think I've got another Biden one here. This was a fun one. I played this the other day. This goes in the gaffe category, which was this is a priceless one.
I would get much more engaged in the world. We can't step back. If, in fact, for example, we solve the problem in the United States of America and you don't solve it in other parts of the world, you know what's going to happen. You're going to have travel bans. You're going to not be able to have economic intercourse around the world.
You're not going to work. I mean, I'd hate to see a sacrifice. Economic intercourse around the world. Yeah, that's not a guy with a sexual problem. Let's see. This was Nicole Wallace on MSNBC after the whole disinfectant gate of last week.
And it was a room like that in which the president of our country told people to ingest bleach.
You remember that, don't you? When Donald Trump said exactly that. Everybody should drink bleach. Everybody should ingest bleach. He said no such thing. Nothing of the sort. I guess when I come back, I think I'm going to play. I don't know. I've got a lot of clips. Some of them are kind of funny. But I wanted you to hear a little bit of Jimmy Dore. This is progressive. Very, very progressive guy. But he's on to Biden's game, and he narrates a little bit of when Joe Biden was in his basement and letting his wife do all the talking. It's I don't know. It's nice. I like an honest liberal. I'd rather talk to an honest liberal than a dishonest conservative. I'll disagree with him all day long on a ton of different stuff, but I at any point, I respect honesty and the ability to think for yourself. I'll be right back. All night with the
king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, last few minutes of the week. This week went by very, very fast, but it's Friday. It's the weekend. You're going to have a nice one, it looks like, weather-wise. You're going to get out and about looking for somewhere to go eat. As I tell you every single Friday, please check out Your Pie. Locally owned, veteran-owned business putting out good food that got smacked upside the head with this ridiculous reaction to the coronavirus situation. They're extremely safe in their place. They're cleaning constantly. They've got curbside service. You can order their food through the Waiter app. Just get the Waiter app and look for Your Pie on there. They'll even deliver to neighborhoods if you get a good size order together. But curbside pickup's a good choice for you. Get their app. Get the Your Pie app. There's all kinds of specials on there. But they do 10-inch brick oven fired pizzas. They're just fantastic. They've even got pans of pasta that'll feed 8 to 10 people for like $40. You're going to get good quality food for about $5 a head. And like I say, if you like pesto, check out the Nat Bake. It is a fantastic pasta with some chicken and pesto and sun-dried tomatoes. They also do salads and paninis. I tell you they have craft beer and wine, but I guess we're going to have to keep that for a couple more weeks till they can get it opened up. They've got a great deck out there, too, but I don't think they can even serve people out on their property. But anyway, support them through this time. You can also get gift cards to them. This is a great way to help them and any other local restaurant you want to help. Get a gift card. Your Pie, in particular, I think they're still running the special. If you buy a $25 gift card, you get a certificate for a free pizza in the future. So it pays you and it pays them now at a time when they need it and trying to keep their staff working. So that's Your Pie out at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway out in Gluckstadt. Download their app. Check out everything they've got and make an order. Feed your family some good food this weekend. All right, I got a couple of last little things here in the time I've got left. I guess I'll do these short ones first. This is the teacher that approached the two kids. Did you see this? Two guys out throwing a football in a park the other day, and this is one of our educators.
Am I screaming loud enough that you can hear me over your music? Park closed. We'll get arrested if the cops come.
Wait, can we go over there?
Is that crazy enough for you?
Can we go over there?
Everybody
on social media. You're the idiot doing the wrong thing. I'm just trying to save your ass and save your life. But die, okay? I hope both of you get the coronavirus. I hope you both die a long, painful death.
Cool.
I love the kid's reaction at the end. Cool. That is a definition of this new word I'm just learning because I'm not very hip and not very with it, and that is that word Karen. Which is just the hysterical, the person on everything. This one real quick. Let's see. I got time to do this in a little Jimmy Dore. This was just an interesting clip. I don't even know where it came from. I think this is from a podcast, but it cleared something up for me.
Hey guys, just coming on here real quick to address some posts we've been seeing, which are suggesting the government is using this time period, this quarantine time, to replace the batteries in bird drones while everyone's in their houses. This virus is really serious, guys. It's really not the time to be spreading misinformation on the internet. So as the official movement, we figured it was our responsibility to come on here and set the record straight. The government is not changing out bird drone batteries during this quarantine, because birds are rechargeable. Birds charge on power lines. Bird drones don't have conventional batteries like we're used to, okay? These are advanced cyber organisms. They don't take double A's. So the entire concept of changing batteries really doesn't even apply here, and the government doesn't even need a quarantine to do drone maintenance. They've been doing it right above your nose your entire life. This is our official statement on the matter. Stay healthy and stay woke.
There you go. So I was happy to know that. They are not, government is not replacing the bird drone batteries at this time. They actually recharge on the power lines, which is genius. This is Jimmy Dore. I've only got about a minute for him. I may play more of this next week. It's just so refreshing. I'm telling you, back off Joe Biden right now. Let him get away with this extra stuff. Don't make a big deal about it. Get him to the candidacy. This is what a part of his own party thinks about him.
About Joe Biden now. So when he goes on, even at his house in a controlled environment, he can't talk. He just can't talk. He has cognitive decline. It's sad to see. It's okay to make fun of because they're trying to lie to you about it. That's why it's okay to make fun of it. They're lying to you. They're trying to make a guy who has obvious dementia the president of the United States, which is unbelievably irresponsible. So that's why it's okay for a comedian to use the power of comedy to shine a light on this garbage that they're doing. So normally it's very rude and impolite and bad taste to make fun of people with mental decline. This time it's not. It's actually encouraged. Here we go.
We got to... It's just, yeah. But you gotta, I mean, we gotta reassure, look, my message to everybody I talk to, we gotta.
So that's what it usually sounds like. So they just had his wife start talking now. And by the way, maybe get a soapbox she could stand on. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just talking. I didn't do the framing's bad. Here we go.
And together, we're just getting started. This moment reminds us.
I'm running out of time to play it. Again, this is a left-wing guy. This is what the progressive wing of the Democratic Party thinks about Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a layup for Donald Trump. Please stop trying to destroy him right now. Keep your powder dry for October and November. In the meantime, I'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop.